Yeah, you ready? Let's do it.
It's kind of appropriate we should start with this song.
Why is that?
Well, everybody should get out there and see Bad Boys for Life because it's awesome!
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, but I am planning to this week when I'm kid-free.
Please do.
Welcome, everyone, to the Final Play Podcast. This week, it's NBA week.
Bad Boys for Life week.
Okay, it's Bad Boys for Life this week. We won't talk about the Bad Boys of the NBA, which used to be called the Pistons, because no one wants to talk about the Pistons. We'll talk about some scores. I guess probably a couple of little trades and little bits and pieces, probably our mid-season picks for the NBA awards, which I think is what it would be called technically, wouldn't it?
Let's go with that. Let's call it the mid-year award season,
where we'll write them down and see if they actually come true. But we'll start with some games. What did you think of last week's games?
There were some interesting games. We probably don't talk a whole lot of Orlando basketball at the moment, but they had a pretty good West Coast road trip at the start of last week. Knocking off Sacramento that was a wild finish. That was insane. It was like 2 3-point plays at the end of the game within the last 15 seconds, one by De'Aaron Fox, which put him up like 112, 111. And then Aaron Gordon with like 1 second left hit like a shot and then made the free throw to sort of put them up. And they ended up getting the W 114, 112, I'm pretty sure it was. So that was a wild, wild sort of game. Two nights later, they walk into the Lakers and beat them by 1 point.
Yeah, they did. Markel Fultz, he's, I guess, quietly becoming to what everyone thought he was going to be with that number one pick in that game, and especially with the Lakers, him hitting 21 points. He did have a triple-double. He doesn't really shoot the three, which is fine, but it's good that someone showed faith in him because, you know, he did have that hype, obviously.
It's good, essentially like a small market team as well, you know, like Orlando, somebody that's probably deprived of a little bit of star power and not a huge free agent destination. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, who's lining up to go to the Orlando Magic anymore? But do you know what I mean? It's good that it's a team, you know, out of the ordinary, not just like the same old normal boring BS teams that all get talked about with, you know, trades and free agents and stuff like that.
I guess for the Magic, as you said, we don't really talk about them about that much, but they're pushing themselves. I think they're back into the top eight now, currently sitting seventh. So
under 500, though. What are they still? Four games under 500?
Two games now under 500.
Two and now under 500.
Back from that as a Nets, they're six back from 500. So they're in a bit of a losing streak.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's right. I find it a little funny that, you know, that the Nets scratched and clawed and you know, and Dinwiddie's been playing well to get themselves back to being close to 500, and now they've lost six on the trot.
Yep.
Two and eight in their last 10 games. Like they scratched and clawed their way to get back. So it's the table set for Kyrie, and now they've gone 2-8.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to think of, actually. Is Kyrie more of a factor that, like, I mean, a lot of sportscasters, a lot of analysts out there, this is not going to be the nicest thing today, but they basically make him out that he's like a disease to a team. They just think he comes in and he infects the team because they were playing great. Spencer Dinwiddie was on fire. Kyrie comes back. It's 2-8. So
he come out with those comments a couple of days ago where it's like, oh, we've got the young core here, and he only mentioned a certain amount of games, and the vultures that are the media have just come out there and then just gone, oh, well, Kyrie obviously doesn't care about this person and that person, the ones that he didn't mention. It's just like, man, he's just saying names. Like, he can't go out there and name, you know, in a press conference or anything, and name every single person on the roster.
Yep.
Like, that's I mean, and all the vultures have gone out there and go, oh, well, Kyrie obviously doesn't care about this person because he didn't mention him in the press conference. Like, it's just boring. The media's, they just got to get over themselves when it comes to things like that. Kyrie doesn't have to explain himself to everybody like that. He's just making a point.
Yeah, correct. But I guess my problem with Kyrie is that he's just come back from injury, and then he's saying, like, yeah, look, he should have just said we just need more pieces and that's it. He didn't have to say names. That's how I thought he should have left that. But
that's, I mean, he could be right. And I don't know. It just seems that he's just getting more and more awkward with the media, you know, whether it's print media, whether it's, you know, whether it's ESPN or social media and things. That he's just getting so awkward with everybody. I don't remember him being this, you know, sort of out of the ordinary and awkward when he was in Cleveland.
I could be wrong. I mean, towards the end, but no, yeah, I don't remember that either.
He's so awkward around everybody now. It just doesn't seem like his, I don't know, from what he started off his career like, that just doesn't seem like him anymore.
ESPN hate him. They
crucify him every time they talk about him.
Yeah. Same as TBS, a la Shaq and Chuck and probably Shaq and Chuck, they go to town on him pretty much.
They love getting into him.
I mean, look, technically he's right. Technically they are probably need a few trade pieces, but I mean, I don't know.
What team doesn't?
Well, correct. And then the other thing is, at the end of the day, you've got one superstar that's out till next year. If you don't make it, it doesn't matter.
You can't even rate or grade or do anything with this team. This year is just not so much it's a dead year, but whatever happens this year happens. Like, you know, they traded for KD. They didn't trade for KD. He got a sign and trade deal, essentially. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, he's gone there. Everybody knew he wasn't going to be there this year. Everybody knew that. So whatever happens this year happens. Like, it just, I don't know. Yeah, they just seem to crap on Kyrie whenever they get the chance. I think it's a little unfair, but the more these sorts of things happen, the more you can't sort of deny the deny the proof.
I guess my thing with the Nets is, Spencer Dinwiddie is too good to be on the bench. He's a starting player to me on any team. I think he's,
we'll go through our sixth man of the year. Usually the sixth man of the year is always a starting caliber player as well.
All I'm getting at, I guess, with them, if they're looking for trade pieces, he'd be hard to give up, but he'd also make it impact on a team if they were going to trade anybody. I think he's just too good to be out of that side.
Look at Kyrie's injury history as well. Yeah. Like, he's, do you know what I mean? Like, that's well documented that he's another guy, you know, a la Joel Embiid, a la, you know, not so much Anthony Davis anymore, but you just know that these guys are just injury prone. So you've got to have insurance for that.
What about, I'm going to say it because he's playing good. What about your boys this week?
Stop it. Get out of the media. Stop talking about them. I don't need the pressure. I don't need it. You're right. Nobody who knows, New Orleans Pelicans, they've won 10 of their last 15. Like, they're playing good. They have put a stop to the two teams with the highest win streak in the last 5 days. Like, they put an end to the Jazz win streak. I think that was last Friday. The fake news supposed debut of Zion Williamson against Utah. which, you know, all the fans in New Orleans and you know, all the bandwagoners all hopped on, and it was a, you know, it was a bit of a raucous crowd there, and they got entertained by an excellent game. They got entertained by an excellent game. You know, overtime, the Pels ended up winning by 6. I think it was 138-132, which is just a crazy scoreline, even though that's overtime. But
Brandon Ingram putting up massive numbers, 49 just, points.
That's me, yeah. The career high, 49, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Like Donovan Mitchell had 46 in that game.
Yeah.
So it's just, that's, I mean, it was just a duel by, I guess, yeah, by the two teams' superstars.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, to me, and you know, New Orleans got dudded, and that might be a little bit of sort of homer about that. They got dudded. They should have won that game in regulation, but they got dudded by a call. It was on Derek Favors on Rudy Gobert. There was a little bit of a jersey pull. There was only like,
they called the foul.
There was like 0.4 seconds to go, and they called a foul on Derek Favors, who's a former Utah Jazz player. But they call the foul on him, and it's the tiniest little tug on the jersey. And it's like, really? Like, that happens every time people go into the paint, when the paint's crowded like that. And you're going to call a foul? Like, that's ridiculous.
I also, I guess for the Pelicans, I just, the way they have been playing this week, I know they only just lost to the Clippers, but they played well in that game. They only lost it in that last quarter.
They should have beaten the Clippers.
They should have beaten the Clippers. The Clippers just ran away towards the end there, but
they were up 14 at one point in the fourth quarter, and they just couldn't really manage the game properly. They kept going three. Well, the Pelicans are third in made 3-pointers this year, like on as in an average per, which is, you know, when you've got shooters like JJ Redick and, you know, Brandon Ingram obviously making more threes. Lonzo Ball, and I don't think it's coincidence that they're playing better with the form of Lonzo Ball as well. He is starting to play well.
I agree.
I don't think it's coincidence that now that he's, and they've been without the last three or four games. They've been without JJ Redick and Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday came back today, as we're recording.
Yeah, correct. And then there's also one certain other player coming back, hopefully, this week, named Zion Williams.
I've never heard of this player.
Nobody's
talked about him. He must be like some sort of bench warmer or something. I don't know.
Is he
falling asleep on the bench?
Well, he was falling asleep on the bench. I think it's pretty evident, but is he the most, I guess, hype debut they've had in a very long time, the NBA?
It's been a while since they've had this, and we've had to wait half the year now because of injury.
Yeah.
So I think that's sort of accentuated it a lot more, that we've had to wait now until, you know, today, the date is the 21st of January, that we've had to wait this long. Yeah, usually you get it. Yeah, you get that sort of feast opening night, but we've had to wait half the season.
I mean, I'm looking at their sort of, so when he's in Zion, I'm looking at their starting lineup. So you have Zion, Derek Favors, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and Drew Holiday, depending on injuries. That's a decent starting five.
That's not a bad starting lineup, and it's unfortunate for JJ Redick that he's probably going to get pushed out of that starting lineup
because I think they kind of expected that.
I could only assume that's going to be the starting lineup for now, because they've been playing a lot of three guard sets, starting lineup wise with Lonzo, with Drew Holiday, with JJ Redick. So, but JJ Redick will still get, he'll still get starters minutes coming off the bench.
They are, yeah, correct. They're sitting at 12th at the moment, and they're 4 to 5 games back from the 8. Can they make the 8 this year?
There's no reason why they can't if they continue on this form, but you can't continue on this sort of form. Like, they did this a couple of years ago where they went through this crazy stretch of like 20 games where they won like 16 out of 20. This was 2 years ago when they made the playoffs and swept Portland. And yeah, they went through this kind of run, and that was after the All-Star break, and everyone's like going, oh wow, you know, look at this Pels team, you know, they're starting to come together when they had Nico Mirotic. Yeah, he was playing well in that sort of in that rotation, and it was this is the kind of form that they can put together. It's consistency.
Yeah. I think they're a little bit too far out from the eight. I mean,
We're only halfway through the season, so it's not as totally lost. It's only five games. But
no. But I mean, looking at the eight now, you've got, I mean, these four I think are locked up: Lakers, Nuggets, Jazz, Clippers. Then you've got, or even Mavericks, you could say. Then you've got Rockets, Thunder, and then the Grizzlies at number eight on 20 and 23.
That's the only spot that's up for grabs is the eight.
I would think so. Although, the Thunder are surprising. I mean,
That they're as many games over 500 as what they are. Like they're playing. Yeah. They're playing fantastically well, and I think Chris Paul is proving his worth.
Well, we'll touch on them. That was my sort of thought. I just think they were the writing was on the wall clearly for Paul George when I guess the writing was on the wall. Well, not that they knew, but I guess the writing was on the wall with Paul George when he started exploring sort of trades, but. The Houston trade, I guess what I'm sort of saying, I think the Houston trade to me was just as good, if not better, as the LA Clippers trade. Yes, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's playing well, really well, actually. But, I think Chris Paul's
more of a factor. Danilo Gallinari over the past 4 years has been pretty hurt and pretty banged up. But if he can stay healthy, he's no slouch either.
That's exactly right. So they just won too. As of now, they just beat the Houston Rockets.
They beat Houston today.
So they, Chris
they've
Paul,
lost four,
yeah.
They've lost four in a row now, Houston.
Yes, they have. Yeah, wow, they have. I'm just looking at that now.
I don't think that means much. Like, that's what I mean. You know, it's about consistent. I don't think it means much. I really don't.
I don't. I mean, they should be in the top eight. I don't know. I don't think they have the great enough pieces to push anybody in that top four.
I don't think so. They're even with that trade for Russ, they're still a piece. You know, that a piece away. Like, you know, they've got nice pieces. PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon comes off the bench. It's only those guys. Like, you know, they've got a couple of youngsters that they have on their roster as well. Ben McLemore's sort of been one of those guys who's really stepped up since he's been there. Like he was a great disappointment in Sacramento, and he's come to Houston, and he's actually sort of, you know, putting up some okay numbers for someone coming off the bench. Austin Rivers is coming off the bench there in Houston, so they've got a million guards off the bench. They're just lacking a little bit of tall timber, but they've got great guard play.
With the Thunder, so they're sitting pretty easily in that. So looking at it now, pretty easily in the seventh. Do they need are they a trade piece away from entrenching themselves in that top eight? Because I'm looking through their team. Like I said, Gallinari's playing well. Well, they're all playing well. Steven Adams is sort of here and there, but I don't think they may trade Steven Adams. They just.
Dennis Schroeder's a starter on a lot of other NBA teams.
Because they have a lot of number one picks at their disposal right now.
They've got about 40 picks from the Clippers. So their future is looking good. I think they're one of those teams where you're just in a holding pattern and I don't think you tinker too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
This form keeps up, like, you can't predict the future, but if this form just carries on, then I don't think they need to do much. If they make the playoffs, then this is a super successful season for them, especially after losing what they lost at the start of the year.
I think you're right. Even though he's going to cost them $40 million next year, I think Chris Paul's worth in that trade has been great. I don't know if he's worth $40 million anymore, but
he's certainly not worth $40 million. Chris Paul is one of the smartest point guards, you know, of this generation, and one of the better point guards in NBA history. I didn't give a crap what anybody says about, oh, he's never won a ring, he's never been to the conference finals, blah, blah, blah. They still say that about Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony is one of the greatest, and you know, a perfect segue, is one of the greatest scorers that this game has seen. And, yep. You know, like I said, a perfect segue. This week, Carmelo Anthony, the 18th player in NBA history to reach 26,000 points.
Yep. Yeah.
And he's only 71 points away from Kevin Garnett. So he could get that. He could get that in 3-4 games. He's averaging about 70
games. He's just a pure shooter. Every time I see him, it's
everybody rags on him. Everybody rags on him for you know, defensively and all that sort of stuff. It's not everybody that's in the league is a great defender or a great shooter or can do everything well.
Trae Young is a terrible defender. Bloody James Harden's a defender.
James Harden is getting better, but everybody ragged on him for years that defensively he's a liability. You know, people get stuck in about Karl Anthony Towns about being a pretty poor defender.
Yeah,
you know, and he made his return this week too. Man, just full of segues. You know, Karl Anthony Towns made his return this week against Indiana. I think it was on Saturday. Saturday for us here, so you know, and just step back in and scored 27, just scores 27 points. Like he's been off for 15 games.
Yeah, I feel for the I do feel for the Timberwolves because they have lost six now as we sort of speak, but they and like, this is probably a lot with Karl Anthony Towns being out. I think it was 15 games. They were in that eight. So unfortunately, obviously having someone like him out hasn't helped. But
no, they're playing awful at home. They're 6-13 at home. Like you're just not giving your home fans any joy at all.
6-15 now. It's ridiculous.
Man, it's just insane.
Yeah, they just can't be
poor on your home floor.
They are worse than the Warriors at home as of right now. Wow, that is terrible.
I think the only team with a worse home record would be Atlanta.
It's exactly 5-8, 5-16. No, they're both 5-16. The Timberwolves are 6-15. So, yeah, wow, that's you're right. You got to give something for your fans at home. That's right.
If you play poorly on the road, that's all well and good, but you got to give your home fans something to cheer about.
Yeah, exactly. Was there any other sort of games you wanted to touch on before moving on to some news?
Just a couple. I thought as much Atlanta basketball as we talked about last week, and I don't really want to sort of go on a little bit, but they broke a pretty crazy record this week on Saturday. They won in San Antonio this past Saturday, 121-120. Why is that significant? Is it the 14-point deficit that they erased in the fourth quarter? No. This is the first time that the Atlanta Hawks have won in San Antonio since February 15, 1997.
Holy, so it's 23
years.
Jesus Christ.
Unbelievable. Okay. So they've lost their last 21 games in San Antonio.
Wow.
Like talking about having the wood on another opponent in your home building.
Wow.
Well, they only play them once because they're an Eastern Conference team.
If any team's going to blow up, to me, it has to be San Antonio. I think that, unfortunately, I think that team's... You know, you've got two big contracts there, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. I think maybe Miami. Miami would be something like I could see them going after DeMar DeRozan or LaMarcus Aldridge, but they need to start rebuilding against San Antonio. That's my
problem
thought.
With Miami is that they've got those young guys now that are playing well. So, what are they going to mortgage? The future for now? Like a lot of teams will totally 100% do that. And Pat Riley's a guy that sort of doesn't mind sort of mortgaging the future for the right now. So Is that what they do? You know, is there a Tyler Hero in this trade? Is there a Kendrick Nunn? Is there a
I don't know. You know
is there a Bam Adebayo in this trade?
Wow. Like,
do you know what I mean? Like, is he willing to mortgage the future?
But I don't know. But he sounds like he is, Mr. Riley. I don't know. He said he wants to have one more go at a super team. I'm sure I've read that not long ago.
No, that's right. The Low Post podcast, you know, shout out to Zach Lowe. Hope he's out there listening to us from ESPN, which I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he is. You know, I might hit him up.
I usually forward in the link every time we have a chat.
Yeah, I might shout him a DM on Twitter and see what's up with Zach. He had a decade, team of not so much, but a decade long podcast, talking about the last decade and everything like that. And he was talking to Dan Levitard, who hosts a radio show, and they're based out of Miami. And he was talking to him about those Miami years. Everybody's forgotten about them because they were at the start of the decade. Were they a success? Were they a failure? You know, four straight finals, two championships. And Pat Riley had come out and said that, yeah, he's a little disappointed because he thought that was a decade team. He thought he was going to keep all those guys there for a decade. That he's a little disappointed himself that he couldn't keep those guys together for longer.
Yeah, I get that, but I mean, it's sort of if anything, when I think of that Miami team, I think that's unfortunately it's the way it is now. Like the whole players don't want to sign long contracts. Look at Kawhi, look at Paul George. You know, they only want to sign a 2 to 3 year contract or a two with a player option on the third. For lack of a better word, there's no loyalty.
Oh no, there never has. Well, not that there never has been.
No,
but
no, I think there's a couple of the Warriors.
That sort of stuff is for a lot of players is totally out the window. Like, you know, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant. Just the first two.
I think
two
Steph Curry and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are the only. I can't ever see those two moving. So. They're probably the last of a dying breed, so to speak. I just don't. It's not that no one cares. It's just that they all when they go to these teams, they see lineage, but I don't think there is no stay with that team for a longer period anymore. I just don't think that happens.
No, well, that's me. You know, could you ever have seen Russell Westbrook playing in another uniform like it, that? It just, you know, now he's at Houston, so it's not to say that it can't happen, but yeah, like you said, yeah, it's a business. Sometimes players always don't have the say, when it comes to moving teams. Sometimes they do. If they've got the superstardom and the power to do it, then they can, they can demand a trade or anything like that. So if they don't have the stardom, then you're not in control of your own fate when it comes to which team you're playing for.
Well, okay. Well, so the two questions are, which is more important then? Is legacy more important or a championship ring to these players more important?
I think it would be 50-50 to players.
Do you think?
For the media, I think it's they don't give a crap about that. They just it's rings, win rings.
Where's your rings, Iverson?
Do you know what I mean? They're great players. Where's your rings, Karl Malone, John Stockton? Do you know what I mean? Like, it just that's all that you hear, and it's not that doesn't make them great players.
No,
like, I just
no,
that
true.
Really pisses me off when they do stuff like that. Big deal. They haven't won a ring. You know why Chuck didn't win a ring? Michael Jordan.
Yeah, of course. You know why
Karl Malone and John Stockton didn't win a ring? Michael Jordan.
Like, what you have,
You have walls in your way. Why you're not going to win a championship? James Harden, why is he not won a championship? The Golden State Warriors, they're just in an era at the moment where there's unstoppable forces in front of them. It doesn't make them bad players I shouldn't say bad players, but not great players. They are great players. Carmelo Anthony.
Yep.
You've got to be blessed with the fortune of being on a team at the right time if you're going to win a championship. There's 30 teams in the NBA. Only one of them wins a championship every year. So that means there's a lot of other disappointed teams that they didn't win a ring.
I completely agree with you in terms of like that, like, yeah, a ring doesn't make your or doesn't make your legacy. My point was more like these, you know, I'm talking about Russell Westbrook, Kawhi, and all these players that have moved to join these mini super teams sort of everywhere. Are they, do they care about their legacy or do they care about the rings? You're right. Maybe it is a bit 50-50 with the players.
I think the players are a little bit more along the lines of 50-50. Like, you know, there's, especially if they're along those lines of a great player. And they haven't got that elusive championship by, you know, say 30 or 31, and they know, if you know, that Father Time's starting to catch up. So it's I'm sure it goes through players' minds, and I think it's a bit of 50-50 unless you get to those guys, you know, like a Kevin Durant, where he'd been knocked out unceremoniously in the finals a couple of times, lost those finals to that Heat team when it was Harden, Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and they were the future of Oklahoma City, and then, you know, Sam Presti, they didn't end up wanting to pay James Harden, so he's like, righto, I'm out. Yeah, they didn't want to stay and go for another championship run.
Oh man, talk about buddy, super teams. Imagine if all those three guys stayed together at the prime of what they are now, or even say two or 3 years ago.
They're all former league MVP.
There's no team on earth that could be. I don't know how they'd share the ball. Well, look, the two of them do it now, but goddamn, no one could stop them.
The problem. There's only one ball, and out of all three of those guys, there's not really one of them that is, you know, Russell Westbrook. They've all got good court vision, but Westbrook and Harden, I think, sort of play the same sort of game, drive and kick. Instead of your traditional ball distributor, and that's why I always go back to Chris Paul. That's why I would have liked to have seen Chris Paul stick it out a little bit, because he is that guy. But I think that relationship with James Harden sort of broke down a little bit at the end.
Towards the end,
Towards the end. James Harden just essentially just switched off offensively if he didn't have the ball in his hands.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And that, like, yeah, it's like he, I wouldn't say he gave up, but it's like he just,
He just pounded.
Pounded. That's probably a good way of putting it.
Why don't I get to dribble the ball 25 times in the shot clock? Like, that's bull crap. That's my job.
Dribble, shoot. That's exactly right.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, I think this year he might have sort of calmed down a little bit, and unfortunately he had a pretty poor game throughout this week as well. It's his lowest output of the season. He scored 13 points against Portland this week. Russ had himself another 30-point triple-double, but, yeah, James Harden only had 13 points. You don't normally see that sort of stat line from him.
No. I'm not completely sold in Houston. They'll make the playoffs. I just want to see what they're going to do in the playoffs. I'm just not completely sold on that team yet.
No, tracking back to that. Yeah, I don't – you can't see them piecing together a deep run in the playoffs. Like the top of the West is pretty heavy, and if they don't get a home seed, you know, a top four position, then if they force a team to game seven, that's going to be on the road.
That's exactly right. Well, talk about God, we can segue well. Talking about pieces, a couple of trades were done. This past week, the first one was it the first one? I'm trying to think which was the first one. No, it was the first one. The first one was Atlanta Hawks. They've traded for Jeff Teague with the Minnesota Timberwolves, who there's a couple of draft picks in this, but the Atlanta's received guard Trevion Graham from Minnesota Timberwolves in exchange. Sorry. I'll start again. Minnesota Timberwolves received Alan Crabb from the Atlanta Hawks in exchange for Jeff Teague and Trevion Graham.
Yeah, so that basically there creates a roster spot for Minnesota. So they're going to be heavy before the for the trade deadline, I think. I think they're going to try and bolster that team, even though this season is probably lost. Mm-hmm. They're going to try and sort of get a piece and get them integrated a little bit At the end of this season, to try and see if that they'll want to stay there and build for next year, you know, around Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. So I was going to bring up the fact that Jeff Teague coming off the bench, and he's still playing 29 to 30 minutes off the bench, but he can't. Well, you can't tell me he can't beat out Shabazz Napier, who's been a proverbial bench warmer his whole career, and now all of a sudden he's the starting point guard in Minnesota. And Jeff Teague's a former All-Star. You can't tell me he can't beat out Shabazz Napier. So I think it's probably not the greatest situation for him going. He's going back to Atlanta, where he was at the peak of his powers.
All started, yeah.
And but he's going to be on the bench again anyway, because he's going to be helped by Trae Young.
I if anything, I haven't seen it happen yet, but I kind of think it'd be actually good to see them both on. Both on the same starting file. I think Jeff Teague could complement Trae Young very well. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think he'd complement him very well.
But that means you've got to change your style of play mid-season. Well, I just don't.
Does it matter for them, Bart? Who cares?
No, of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. They're awful.
You might as well try something. Well, that's what I'm getting at. I know what you mean.
But they've got. I mean, they've got those young players there. They have a lot of young players there. It's. I don't know. I think it'd be extremely disruptive to sort of do that. Like, you know, what sort of team chemistry they've got at the moment. Anyway, like I said, yeah, they're just a bad team. You know, we're halfway through the season now. They're just a bad team. Their record clearly says that they're a bad team. So yeah. I don't know. I'll find it a little funny. I think it's more the benefit for Minnesota to open up that roster spot.
The other trade was Trevor Ariza. So the Portland traded Kent Bazemore, Anthony Tolliver, and two future second round picks to the Kings for Trevor Ariza, Caleb Swenigan, and Wenyen Gabriel. But I think
Wenyen Gabriel. Yeah,
I think he
plays about 2 minutes a game.
The standout of there was Trevor Ariza. Doesn't look like Kent Bazemore worked out at all for the Blazers. So.
No, I think that experiment, not so much failed, but yeah, I think, especially now that they've got Melo there as well, like at least they're a little bit more size at that 3/4 position. Kent Bazemore's probably a little bit undersized if he wants to play that 4 position. He's more of a 3. So, I think that's beneficial. I think Trevor Ariza could help them because he's a great catch and shoot player.
Yeah, I still think his trade value is still higher than a lot of people. I guess it's not a name that we usually talk about, but I still think he has that little bit of trade value there.
That's right. You know, he's serviceable.
Yeah.
Caleb Swanigan's not a bad player.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Trevor is obviously, you know, he's the veteran of that lot. So, you know, like I said, yeah, he's a great catch and shoot player, and that could be beneficial for Portland a little bit down the track if they want to try and make a bit of a push for the 8.
The good thing is, looking at his contract next year, while he's due to make $12.8 million, only $1.8 million is guaranteed of it. So they could always, depending on how he works out, they could always potentially waive him. So.
No, that's right. Well, with this trade, the Trailblazers, because they're pretty heavy in the luxury tax at the moment, they save $7 million in luxury tax. So I'm sure the owner's rather happy about that.
Of course.
But yeah, that's you know, that's just, yeah, that's what's happening there. You know, I don't think Portland's giving up on this season by any stretch of the imagination. But I think it's the luxury tax saving. When it comes to that trade, you know, sort of, and they're very shorthanded at the moment, Portland, you know, with another injury, sort of, you know, injuries just keep mounting up for the Trailblazers now that CJ McCollum's out. Had a left ankle sprain again in that game against Dallas. So it's unclear about how long he'll be out for. There's no break or anything like that. It doesn't look like there's a lot of damage there, but he could be out maybe, you know, 1 to 2 weeks, so that's not going to help them either. That's just going to put more onus on Lillard and Carmelo Anthony there.
And Carmelo Anthony, yeah, correct. The other bit of news, this is more of the re-sign, but Royce O'Neal re-signed with the Utah Jazz. 4 years for $36 million.
So. Yeah, good on him for that. That's a good deal. That's a good deal for him. He's a solid player, and he's been rewarded. So
yeah, no, he's been putting up fairly. You know, he's just averaging 29 minutes this year, but you know, his consistency is still there. It's only 6.2 points per game, but on the flip side, it's a veteran extension, so to speak. So it's only costing him $9 million per year for the next 4 years. So it's not
that's not going to break the bank. No, so that's fine.
Any other? That was sort of the news that I wanted to cover. You want to talk mid-season awards?
Why not?
Well, I'm going to jot these down as we speak because I want to see if they're going to change, obviously, towards the end. So we are talking – so mid-season awards. So we're looking at, I guess, what our picks are going to be for the NBA awards, and that's the MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, the Most Improved – the Rookie of the Year, obviously, and the Sixth Man of the Year. I don't know, where do we start?
The coach, which you could sort of throw out there, but it's a bit sort of tough to do Coach of the Year.
It's a bit tough because you know they could change. That's a if anything, I think the coaches could change just as much as the player. More than the players.
Big time.
I'm just writing it down now. NBA awards picks.
We start this off so professional, and then you're writing stuff down while we're doing this. Who cares?
Hey, they do it during a telecast on Inside the NBA, so why can't we? So let's start. Let's start with an obvious one: Rookie of the Year.
There's no question. Just Ja Morant.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're both sort of set on Ja Morant. I mean, there's no real to-ing and fro-ing about that. I'm pretty sure he's the only reason that they're in the eight. I mean, it's pretty evident. It's very his voting
triple,
this
triple
year.
J, don't sleep on Triple J either. Like Triple J's playing well as well. Yeah,
the whole team is. I'm just saying. As a rookie, he's playing extremely well. The Memphis Grizzlies are exceeding where they were going to play this year. Is he a sneaky to? I don't think he's getting the votes at the moment. But is he a sneaky? You know, in the media and the media and players' votes, is he a sneaky to make the at least the bench for the West? I'm not sure,
I'm not sure. I don't think he's got enough. I don't think he's got enough case to sort of get that. There's plenty of guards in the West that probably deserve to be there more than what Ja Morant does at this point in time.
He's definitely got locked up the Rookie of the Year. Sixth Man of the Year.
All right, you want to hear it?
I do.
A lot of people don't want to hear this, and everybody wants to be boring and go, Lou Williams for the 14th time in his career, you know, or Montrezl Harrell or someone like that. No. The man who will be the sixth man of the year this year is Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder.
I am. I'm writing it down now. Really? Dennis Schroeder.
Man, he's playing unbelievable. And don't get me wrong, you know, Lou Williams is playing terrific as well, and so is Montrezl Harrell. But I just they're not exceeding expectations. Everybody knew that the Clippers are going to be well, you know, or going to be playing well, and a high seed in the other, you know, Oklahoma City. Nobody thought that they were going to be doing what they're doing now. And I think he's a big reason along with CP3. I think he's a massive reason why. They're doing what they're doing at the moment.
Well, he is because he's still putting up those numbers. If they stay in the eight, then yeah, definitely. If they stay in the eight, 100%. It's not who I thought you were gonna say. I'll give you that. That is out of the blue. I think because I had a quick look before we started this, I think he was high up there on I think he was high up there in terms of betting as well, Dennis Schroeder.
$10.
$10. Well, there you go. Of course, you know.
$10 on an undisclosed betting agency.
The obvious ones are Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell. My sneaky has to be Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose I'm a big everybody's big on Derrick Rose at the moment, but that's who I'm going for, because you know the Detroit Pistons look, and they're probably it depends on how the way they're playing, you know, is probably going to hurt Derrick Rose unless he moves to a team, which is you know, a lot of teams are going after, a lot of big teams are going after him. So
they want to cash on in his non-injury plague form. So
if he ends up moving, but say he's $10 as well. So if he ends up moving to a contending team, that could drop significantly, because he'll probably be a six man legitimately on possibly the Lakers or possibly the 76ers, and man, he could. Yeah, he could change the team. He could definitely change. Well, he's changing
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he's not really changing the Pistons, because we all know they're kind of bad. But what I mean. He's making them semi-competitive, because you're just not winning games with Andre Drummond and Christian Wood and an injury plagued Blake Griffin. You know, God, yeah, you just not winning. You know, Fon Maker, you're just not winning games. You're just not winning games at those guys. So,
poor Blake Griffin. I just watch all these like 100 players of the year for 10 years, and I mean, he's the first few years of him was unbelievable, because he was in nearly every play. Because
he's broken.
Oh, poor guy. He is broken. He is definitely broken.
It sucks. But he's broken.
He is broken. Most improved player.
Well, you all know everybody knows who I'll be picking for that, and that will be Brandon Ingram.
Okay, so I wasn't going to go with the obvious on this one either. And I kind of honestly think the obvious is Luka Doncic.
He's more of a chance of getting MVP, I think.
Well, and I was going to go Brandon Ingram as well, but I'm this is my sort of smoky. Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
Adebayo is playing very, very well for the and another big reason why they're entrenched in the top four for the Miami Heat.
That's right. He's a great rim runner. He's like a skinny Shaq, like when Shaq was young. He can run the floor with the ball. He's unbelievable.
He it's like he could not wait at all. He could not wait for now what's his name? Hassan Whiteside to go. Yeah, he could not
get
wait
out of the way.
He started it last year. He started playing good towards the end of the year.
Yeah, right.
And once they got rid of Hassan, he's that quintessential center. Like you said, he's like a skinny Shaq, but he's that quintessential center that they all think they're losing now. But he's an athletic center. He's one of the most athletic centers I've ever seen in the last few years, easily. He's gonna command massive money, and yeah, he's playing great for him, really good. But I'm glad we're not picking. I'm glad we're not picking, you know, a couple of obvious ones here, because there's only two obvious ones, and I think that's MVP and rookie. But yeah. Defensive player of the year.
We all know who you're going to pick.
Well, yeah. I'm picking someone from the Lakers. We don't need to say anymore. I'm sorry.
You're picking AD.
Yes, I'm picking AD. I was going to pick Kyle Kuzma. No. I'm picking AD. What the hell? I hate that hairstyle. What is he trying to be like? Justin Bieber or something? What the hell?
I don't get it. Like he had the weird sort of Brady stuff at the start of the year. He had the braids and everything, and then he shaved all them off, and he went back to a normal haircut, and then and then he spilled peroxide all over himself. Like, it just very strange.
So who have you got as a defensive player?
So I too am going for AD, but it's not the AD you're thinking of. I am going way outside the box and going for Andre Drummond.
Of course you are. Hey, well, he's got it in the box.
That's, I mean, he is putting the numbers he's putting up, you know, as an all-round defender. He's great. Like, he's leading the league in rebounds at nearly 16 a game. He's averaging nearly 2 blocks a game. And he's average for a big guy, was he 6'6", 11, 7'4", but he's averaging 2 steals a game.
Yeah. No, he's
one of... He moves well laterally. He's an unbelievable rebounder.
He's coming up to his player option for his contract. He's a guy, if he can move to a decent side, man, he could make some noise.
He could help out a lot. But that's what I mean. He's a good stopgap. I think defensively, I think he's extremely underrated, and I think he should be right up in that conversation. You know, I was going to say Marcus Smart because he's been – Marcus Smart, you could put him in there for defensive player of the year and most improved.
I think so. Yep. Yeah, I agree. I agree on that, but – Look, it was hard to look past AD just because of the same sort of thing that's happening with Drummond, like the numbers he's pointing up. But I don't dislike your pick. I'm maybe $151 to one. You should probably put some money on that.
Get on it.
Because I would get on that.
Get on that.
But. Are we pretty sort of set in stone on the MVP?
Giannis.
Is anyone else? Yeah. Is anyone going to beat Giannis?
I don't think so. I don't think Harden's going to do it. The numbers that LeBron is putting up and AD is putting up, I don't think that they'll be the closest challenges. But I still think it's Antetokounmpo.
It's easily Giannis. If anybody's closer to me, only because the way he's been playing, is LeBron James. Yeah. Like, you know, Luke has been playing okay, but LeBron, you know, AD's been out for a little bit, and he comes and sort of go. Like, you know, LeBron's just such a hybrid player.
He's
like,
leading the league in assists, LeBron.
He's your
guy. Like, he's the guy that should be higher than, you know, than AD in the MVP conversation.
So, okay, so that's all. Are we doing the coaches, or it's a bit hard to sort of pick the coaches?
You could go on with coaches for a while. There's you know, Budenholzer, and if you want to put Frank Vogel in there, but, you know, that's sort of a bit of a token gesture.
I'd even bloody put Eric Spoelstra up there for the
Spoelstra. I think Spoelstra is totally, totally up there. Billy Donovan at OKC.
Teams that are
sort of exceeding expectations. They're the guys that you're sort of looking at, but you would think that Spoelstra would be up there as a front runner. I'd say.
Well, they're sitting second now, 30-13. Like, it's hard to sort of look past him. I mean, even Nick Nurse,
Toronto were exceeding expectations.
Kawhi left, and they really didn't pick up anybody else, and they're exceeding expectations. It's funny. Like, out of all the coaches of the year, a lot of them I think have to come from the East because of just the East this year. The East is exceeding expectations. What everyone thought.
It's a little more top heavy than what it has been in previous years.
Correct. I'm going to write Spoelstra down, but I think it's too hard to sort of pick that purely because it can change at any time.
Even somewhere like Nate McMillan in Indiana.
Yeah.
He hasn't had his star all year.
Rick Carlisle, you know, at a pinch.
Yeah, you know, Kristaps Porzingis has been. I think he's supposed to be coming back this week. But he's been out for the last couple of weeks, and they're not sort of, you know, completely pooing the bed right now and dropping right off like Lucas plays sensational. So you could totally put Rick Carlisle in. That's, I mean, there's so many of them at the moment that they will begin to weed themselves out once we get closer to the playoffs.
I guess before we just finish up, did you see the third fan vote returns that recently come out?
Not much has changed, has it?
Except for the person that you didn't want to move up has moved up to fourth now.
Alex Caruso
is sitting fourth in the guards.
He's not making an All-Star game. He's not doing that.
So there's not much movement. I think it's pretty set in stone. LeBron's leading.
What's wrong with you people in LA?
He's not an all-star. And you can't blame the LA fans. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's jumping on that bandwagon. He's moved up to fourth, which is ridiculous. But I think it's pretty set in stone. I think it's so LeBron, AD, and Kawhi in the front court, and then Luka Doncic and James Harden. They'd be your starting five in the West. And these are the vote getters as well. Giannis, Pascal Siakam, and Joel Embiid in the front court, and then Trae Young, yes, Kyrie Irving, don't know. He'll be there,
but should be Kemba Walker.
Well, Kemba Walker's only 15,000 votes. That's who I picked. He's only 15,000 votes behind. So, and Derek Rose is fourth, just to show you how good a season he's having.
That's the people of Chicago.
Yeah,
Zach LaVine is high up there on the. They just want to get a home jersey guy in there. Zach LaVine's not an All Star. He's just not.
Derrick Rose, you know, that could be a spike.
Derrick Rose could touch. I mean, I would rather see Derrick Rose in there 100 times more than Zach LaVine.
I guarantee. Zach LaVine's going to be at the NBA dunk comp. I guarantee. Derek Rose, like the Chicago faithful, want to see Derek Rose more than Zach LaVine in that All Star game. Yeah, I guarantee it.
Of course they do.
But Caruso's above Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, D'Angelo Russell, and Ja Morant. It's absolutely ridiculous.
That's just what is wrong with you people?
He's beating Ja Morant by 500,000 votes. My God. Anyway, I didn't vote for him. I love LA. There's no way I was voting for him. It's the West is pretty.
Drew Holiday deserves to be there more than what Alex Caruso does. Give me a break.
Well, that's exactly right. The West was pretty easy to pick, to be honest. So the Eastern Conference, I didn't want to pick Joel, but only because of it. I guess have a true. I was nearly going to pick Bam Adebayo, but
I picked Bam.
Didn't pick Taco Fall. That was never going to happen. That was never going to happen, stupid Taco Fall. So that's another one. He's sitting six. So he's sitting six ahead of Bam Adebayo by 200,000 votes.
That's why nobody should really sort of take these to the bank.
Chuck said, like, no, yeah, fans should never have votes. That's, look what happened in the White House for his words.
Chuck's been on fire. He came out and gave a bit of curry to Draymond Green, saying that he ain't talking much trash at the moment when he's on a bad team and averaging a triple single.
That's right, triple single. That's right. I love it.
I came up with that phrase like 4 years ago when we were playing in Mackay, triple single. So Chuck, if you're listening out there, stop stealing my stuff. Just stop it.
Just finishing up before we leave. I just sort of looked at the eighth person was Domantas Sabonis from the Pacers. What? Yeah. The Pacers are doing. They're sitting pretty well. Like they're at the moment. They're 28-16 as of now. I kind of think if they're a trade piece away because how good Domantas is playing, I think Miles Turner needs to move. From that team because they don't work well.
There's a lot of stuff swirling around Miles Turner being moved. Yeah.
What did you think? I mean, that was out of sort of the blue to sort of bring up, but Miles Turner he can be a very good player when he needs to. I'm sure a lot of executives out there would be intrigued by getting him. Surely
it's weird. I find that he's sort of going in the mold of Karl Anthony Towns at the moment. Like he was a low post player, or you know, can be down low at the moment. Now all of a sudden he wants to take 13 threes a game. Like Miles Turner's not doing that. But you have a look at when he was playing at USA, for the USA basketball team. That's all he wanted to do. Like he just wanted to hang around the perimeter. Like Carl Anthony Towns is taking a million 3-point shots a game. Like that's just lazy offense. Like
I think
I find he's going in following in the mold of that. that he doesn't want to be down low and get a little dirty down late. He just wants to start jacking threes. He wants to be James Harden.
My thing is up until Victor Oladipo comes back, I think he's either going to be pushed on or pushed back into the front court area because he's bloody yeah. Once the Oladipo's there, he'll start shooting the ball. But sure. I just think the Pacers they're a sort of a sneaky sort of team we don't talk about or anybody really talks about. But no, their records their record's good. Their record's really good at the moment.
12 games over 500.
So and that's without Oladipo. So if Oladipo comes back, I think if they are looking to trade, I mean they've tried it last year and it seemed to be okay. They didn't make much noise in the playoff, but I just think they're not Oladipo a team to sleep on. Oladipo is
supposed to be coming back at the end of this month.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's what I've read. Oladipo looks like. So the end of this month. So they're looking. That's why they're sort of, I guess, that Miles Turner trade rumors has ramped up because once Oladipo comes back, he's only 23 years old too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and obviously, the other thing that just popped up too before we go, he fouled out in 20 minutes. So that's not very good.
Oh my god!
He fared out in 20 minutes. That's absolutely terrible. So
far out, Hackmaster.
Anyway, that's not good. If you're gonna be moved
on, that's not helping the cause.
No. I guess that'll do it for the NBA podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials: Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud. I have a few more days that off, so I'm going to try to hardly hit the iTunes bandwagon and get on those Apple podcasts because I know a lot of people prefer the Apple podcast than any other podcast.
We can get up Spotify. Yeah. So we'll make use of those holidays.
Up until this weekend, then I'm writing myself off. I don't know what's happening this weekend.
I have no idea what's happening this weekend. This weekend is going to be a complete and utter total write-off.
Of sweat and alcohol because
of sweat and just broken bodies and Nutella and
40-year-old I was gonna say 40-year-old people but Nutella 40-year-old Nutella that's awesome. So 1 kilo Nutella.
We've already got somebody else signing up for a 4-liter ice cream challenge, so it's gonna be on.
Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah. No, don't worry.
Have a good week, anyone. My name's Jason. Never gonna do 4 liters of ice cream, Smith. Ever.
Yeah. Ever. My name's Miles. I'm gonna do the nugget challenge, Plum. I'm gonna smash those nuggets. Give us a shout out there, Zach Lowe. If not, I'll sneak into your DMs. So give us some love.
All right. Peace, everyone. See ya.
See ya.